Good morning. It is really happy to see all these people being baptized and added into the church. Today I'm going to continue the sermon according to Acts. I will start with Acts chapter 4. We have read chapter 12, but I would like to start with chapter 4. And I will touch on chapter 4, 5, and then go to 12. Then you will see in all these three chapters, in fact, plus 16, you will see the apostles were put in prison, and the Lord sent angels to rescue them. When you read the Bible, have you ever asked questions? Anything that you don't understand? And then you start to ask why. I encourage you to do that. But after asking why, find out the answer. So there are several issues. As I go on to preach these few chapters, there are a few questions. Is there a right way to do wrong thing? Of course, no such thing. But somehow in our life, we try to find a way. It may not be a right way to justify ourselves why I did that. But when you read the Bible, we have to be very careful. When the Bible recorded history, it also recorded the wrongdoing of men and wrong word said by men. But if the word and the mighty act are from the Lord, you don't have to worry. It will be 100% correct. But you must differentiate and continue to ask questions. And is there such thing called white lies? For some good reason, you tell lies. And the other issue about Christian life, how to pray. And today, we are more than 20 baptized, and then you start your Christian life. Of course, you have to start with prayer life. But when we come to chapter 4, verse 1, first I want you to see something happen straight after baptism. Chapter 2, 3,000 baptized added to the church. Chapter 4, another 5,000 baptized and added to the church. But while all these things happening, persecution, attacks came to the apostles, the disciples, and the Christians. Chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, referring to Peter and the apostles, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. If you look at these two verses, who came to arrest the apostles? The priest, the captain of the temple, and then the Sadducees. Why these people were there? Because the apostles were preaching the resurrected Christ. But if we go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, in John chapter 18, verse 3, Judas came together with soldiers, the Roman soldiers, and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They came with lanterns, torches, and weapons to arrest Jesus. Who were missing during the time? You did not see the Sadducees. And what is the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees? We cannot assume we know unless you read the Bible carefully and find the answer from the Bible. If we go to Acts chapter 23, this passage gives us the answer. When Paul was arrested and he looked at the council, all the people wanting to judge him, Paul said, "Brother, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And verse 6, "Now when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he saw the people among them." Two groups of people, Pharisees and the Sadducees. "And he cried out in the council, 'Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial.' And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided." Why it was divided? The answer is in verse 8. "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit. But the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Then a great clamor arose, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party stood up and contended sharply. And when the dissensions became violent because of Paul, who was put on trial, they were divided because of their belief." This is doctrinal issue. The Sadducees did not believe anything spiritual. Resurrection, angels, spirit, all this, they do not acknowledge. They just go around, bossy around in the temple. But spiritual-wise, they know nothing. They don't read the Bible. Where the Pharisees, they read the Bible, they keep the law of Moses to the other extreme. And Paul was smart. Just throw this stone at them, and they were divided. And when the Pharisees, together with the high priest, arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Sadducees was not interested at all, and they did not come. So you don't see them in John chapter 18. But when come to Acts chapter 4, they came. Why? Because the apostles proclaiming Christ Jesus is resurrected. If what they proclaim is right, that is to prove that they were wrong. But 3,000 turned to Christ. Another 5,000 added. They got panic, and they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. And when they had further threatened them, they thought by threatening them, they would not continue. So they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. But the apostles, when they are out from the custody, They continue to proclaim Christ, who is resurrected. Then come to chapter 5. The high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, and they arrested apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. Question: did the angel commit any offense? If your friend is in prison and you rescue your friend out of prison, this is a serious criminal offense. And for your friend who is in prison and ran out with you, he also committed another serious offense. But what about angels? Does the Bible hinting somewhere, somehow, if you are doing right thing, even you are offending a law or something, it's still okay? Does the Bible hint that? No, the answer is no. God will never do anything that is wrong. So white lies can never be white. As simple as that. And we have to look at the Bible carefully. In verse 18, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. What is that prison? If you look at the Chinese translation, it says, wài jiān. Actually, in our term, is house arrest. This arrest is not official. It's not by the government, but by the religious people, the council of Sanhedrin. So it's not official and it's not legal, actually. So in the first place, the arrest and detention were not official and legal. Therefore, the angels came, opened the door, and brought them out. The angels did not commit any offense. Not any of the criminal offense of the government. Then we come to chapter 12. We read one through just now. Verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, and he killed James, and also continued to persecute the Christian and arrested Peter. And verse 4, and when he had seized him, Herod arrested Peter, he put him in prison. Now look at this translation. No more public prison. This is just prison. And this is official prison by the Romans. They had the authority. They were the ruler of the time. And at that time, he asked the soldiers to guard him, extra soldiers, to make sure Peter would not run away. Because something happened in chapter 5. Peter, the angels rescued Peter and they left the public prison. And now in the Romans prison, more guards were placed in order that no one is able to escape. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Praise God for the church. Praise God for the praying church. When brothers is in troubles, suffering, sickness, the church should pray. But how do we pray? What is effective prayer? And while the church is praying, something happened in the prison. Although Peter was heavily guarded, but verse 7, the angels came and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And this verb "fell" in the Greek grammar is in details. The verb itself will tell you whether it's a passive verb or active verb, or we call middle voice, which is by self, not passive and active, but by itself. So the change fell by itself. And the angels told Peter, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals and follow me." And he followed angels without knowing what was happening actually. And they passed the first and the second guard. They came to the iron gate leading to the city. And pay attention to this. It opened for them of its own accord. What a mouthful of translation. But in the original Greek, it just says the gate opened by itself. Angel did not push it open. So do Peter. Peter did not push it open. The gate opened by itself. So in actual fact, they were no more detained. And since the gate is open, they came out. So over here you see, the Bible is so precise. The angels came and rescued Peter, yes. But the angel did not break any law. He did not open the gate. The gate opened by itself. And verse 10, they came out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left Peter. So Peter came to himself. He said, "Hey, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." So he thought to himself, when he realized this, where should he go? Straight away he knew, "The church is praying for me. I must go and join them." So he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And this should be the same house where Jesus had the Last Supper. During Jesus' time, that was the only room available which was able to take 120. So this was the house that Jesus and his disciple had Last Supper. And this is the house where the disciples gathered in Acts chapter 1 and prayed together, and the Holy Spirit came. So in chapter 12, they gathered again in the same place where they were praying. And verse 13, here come Peter. "And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer." The situation was very tense. They have to put someone at the gate. So in case the Romans came, or the Pharisees or the Sadducees came to arrest them, so they have to keep the door locked and put a servant girl to guard. In case anything happened, she could inform the people and they run from the other direction. This servant girl, recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." And this is a translation of the English Standard Version. And there are many translations. There is another translation is very direct, saying that you are crazy or you are mad. Just imagine that there was a prayer meeting praying for Peter. They may pray something like this: Lord, rescue Peter. You did that in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Lord, you should be able to do the same in chapter 12. Lord, Peter is so important to us. Take him out from the prison to glorify your name. And then the servant girl, Peter is there, standing at the door. Don't disturb us. Keep praying. Lord, hear our prayer. Peter is standing there. We are praying. Don't disturb. And this servant girl almost burst in tears. And while she kept saying, Peter is standing at the gate. And then they said, it is his angel. Let's continue to pray. Is our prayer meeting something like this? Do you pray and believe? Or do you pray and don't believe? I think you would believe that you pray and believe. But in actual fact, sorry to say, it may not be the case. When we pray for the sick, are you really sure the Lord will touch and heal? Or you pray doubting, no, this impossible. Or when you are facing a difficult situation, you pray there will be an opening for you, but you don't quite believe, because fact is fact. You are facing the fact. And you don't believe this God who is almighty can overturn the situation. You keep praying, but keep unbelieving. Then I would say, don't waste your time. A sister came to me and asked me, Pastor, can you pray? And I asked, for what? He said, for my husband, that he will come to Christ. I said, that is a good request. Let us pray together. So I prayed, Lord will open the heart of her husband. And the Lord will give our sister opportunity to share the gospel and grant her wisdom so that she can have good testimony in the house and beyond, and so that her husband will come to Christ as early as possible. And pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I told the sister, next week we have something special in the church. Bring your husband. And she quickly replied, impossible, he is very stubborn, he will never come. I said, didn't I just pray? And if you don't believe, why you ask me to pray in the first place? I think this is very normal in us. We want to see something good happening, but we cannot bring our faith to believe. And this is first century, early church prayer meeting. They did the mistake. Peter was there, and they kept praying and could not believe. I would like to pray in this way. The answer already at the door site. Just open the door and believe. So as some of our brothers and sisters are baptized today, added to the church, and for many of us, we were baptized long time ago, continue with this simple faith. As we pray, we believe. And let us all experience the goodness of the Lord. His answer is quick and precise. Have the faith, dare to ask, and then expect great things happening in you, in your family, among your loved one. And you can commit anything into His good hand. And why we pray? You should pray on your own accord every day, every now and then. And I urge you, I invite you. It's different when we come and pray together. Even if we have two or three. But this is not an excuse for very poor turnout. You pray alone, the Lord is with you. When two or three coming together, of course the Lord is in our midst. But as we come together and pray, the Lord Jesus taught us, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. No point to pray alone and say, Our Father. You can just say, My Father. But Jesus wants to tell us, let's come together. Let's uphold one another and concern of others. So, from this afternoon onwards, I'm going to preach the Lord's Prayer. It's so rich, and we need to relearn our prayer. How to pray? What is effective prayer? What is the deep and true meaning in the Lord's Prayer? We always assume, you know, I know, but not quite. I prefer to assume we know nothing. And then we take out the Bible and learn from the Bible. How were these prayers recorded in the Bible? Good prayer, we learn from them. And don't just learn from anyhow, anyone, because the person may not be correct. You have to go back to the Bible. And if that is correct, that is from the Bible, then we learn together. But the Bible also recorded the wrong thing did by men, just like the prayer recorded in chapter 12. We have to learn how they come together to pray. But while praying and disbelieving, that was wrong. We have to do that away. So pray and believe. And almost each and every book, all the 66 books in the Bible, there are lessons of prayer. But very seldom we learn prayer according to the Bible. So I urge you from today, I especially choose these few chapters to urge you to relearn prayer. And maybe we have to undo certain things, wrong thing in our prayer. And next week I will touch on leadership issue. And further, I will touch also from the Acts, some life and the function of the church according to the early church recorded in Acts. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for all who are baptized today. Continue to bless them and lead them so they will walk side by side with you and walk closely with you. And for the rest who were baptized long time ago, today is a renewal of our baptism vows, that we trust in you and we believe in Christ Jesus. And we want to continue to pray and to enjoy the prayer being answered by the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. Bless and touch each and every one of us. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen.